bleed terrapin red, you might as well be going green. We've got the latest on green housing and transportation in College Park.
And there's a lot more than Halloween happening this October. We'll tell you what you can expect. This is TERP Weekly Edition.
This is TERP Weekly Edition, a look at the issues and news in and around the University of Maryland College Park. TERP Weekly Edition is produced by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio.
Welcome to TERP Weekly Edition. I'm Michael O'Neill.
And I'm Kara Crawford. Does Maryland need a tutor when it comes to sustainability? TERP Weekly Edition's Jennifer Memelo has studied the annual College Sustainability Report, and she tells us whether the University of Maryland makes the grade.
The College Sustainability Report Card, an annual review of what national universities are doing to reduce their carbon footprint, was released last week, and the Terrapins' grade increased from a B- to a B. Though the university is still trailing when compared to private universities and ACC rivals like UNC and Duke, it's not because of a lack of student participation. Mark Stewart, an on-campus coordinator for the Office of Sustainability, explains the reasons behind the B.
These many A's that we had, especially around student involvement, I think that we had a B in green buildings, if I remember. Administrative leadership, we had an A. I mean, we've been receiving high marks. This year, the report card just came out again. Our overall grade improved from a B- to a B, but we still have the same two Fs that we had last year. Again, we have those Fs this year. And those Fs are in endowment transparency and shareholder engagement.
Though there was little change on the part of university spending, Stewart says certain departments have definitely stepped up to make UMD an eco-friendly campus.
Many of them are focused on greening the campus. I mean, resident life and residential facilities are doing some amazing projects with low-flow showerheads and green rooms, and facilities management is doing some lighting retrofit and other green projects. And there's so much happening that it's, I think, one of our challenges to improve communication on the across the campus so that we all know what the green projects are.
But there is still much that can be done without adding to the university's budget, Stewart says. In fact, every department can play a part.
What we would recommend is that each department appoint one person to be the sustainability coordinator for the department, because there are so many people across the campus who are really interested in these issues and are really knowledgeable about how to reduce energy, reduce water, reduce paper consumption. I mean, all these issues that our departments are dealing with, not only because of green issues, but also because of budgetary matters.
Looks like going green could mean saving green. For TERP Weekly Edition, I'm Jennifer Memelo.
While the university tries to find ways to go green without going broke, a new off-campus housing development had to cut plans for a proposed atrium inside the new Starview apartment complex. The Diamondback reports that building developer Mukesh Majumdar said he could no longer afford to follow through with his original plans, which included an atrium that would regulate building temperature and reduce energy costs. The College Park City Council, which was originally opposed to the look of the atrium, had little to no objections over the latest building plans, especially since the building will still reach the second highest rating for leadership in energy and the environment designs. Starview Apartments are scheduled to open by December 2010.
Housing is one very important aspect of the campus effort to be a greener place, and so is transportation. This week, we want to focus on transportation of the two-wheel variety. You may have a bike on campus. If you don't, chances are you probably know someone who does. But did you know there's a place on campus designed strictly to keep those two wheels spinning? TERP Weekly Edition's Matt Butner has the story.
The UMD bike shop has moved, and its services are still free to students. If your bike needs some air in the tires, a quick adjustment, or a full workdown to get it on the road, the bike shop is the place to go. Junior Eric Barocio shares his experience.
They adjusted my brakes. It was real quick, probably about, 5 minutes, and it's really, really helpful. They were very nice and set me on my way.
The shop fixes bikes, but also teaches students how to fix problems themselves and practice good maintenance. Bike shop employee Nick Brennan shares more about what the shop is about.
We want to give people the skills they need to stay safe on the road and keep their bike working properly and safely and all that. And it's free because it's a student service.
Shop employee David DeGennaro shares what he likes about his job.
I like problem solving and coming in with a different problem every time, and just the interaction with people in general. And I like to see like people learning how to do it also.
The bike shop has just moved to the lower part of Coalfield House in an effort to bring in more students. Brennan explains how the university is using the shop to push for a greener campus.
The move was kind of spurred on by the president's climate promise, and we got included in that because we already were thinking about, you know, a more centralized location.
With the new location, word is spreading, and students like Ken Juhas are checking it out for the first time.
I found out the bike shop through a friend. She wants to go bike riding this weekend. Told her my bike was broken, so she forced me to come check this place out. If I didn't find out about it, I would not be riding my bike.
Brennan shares how the shop has made some adjustments to accommodate the increase in student interest.
Now we've got expanded hours from 2 to 8 instead of from 3 to 6. And we've got two shifts, a lot more faces, a lot more mechanics.
Shop hours are from 2 to 8 Monday through Friday and 4 to 8 on Sunday. The shop also has daily, weekly, and semesterly bike rentals. Freshman Mide Amagwade is already enjoying the shop's services.
It's good. It does exactly what it needs to do. It fixes bikes.
In College Park, for Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Matt Butner.
Students flying home for Thanksgiving break will now have a much easier time getting to the airport. The Department of Transportation is providing shuttle buses to Baltimore-Washington International Airport on Wednesday, November 25th, and from BWI back to campus on Sunday, November 29th. The shuttles, which are free to any student showing a valid university ID, will depart every 3 hours from Coalfield House on the 25th and every 3 hours from BWI on the 29th. For more information, visit www.dots.umd.edu.
The Field of Firsts can add another first to its list. On October 8th, the College Park Airport, referred to as a Field of Firsts because of its significance in aviation history, became the first continually operated airport to celebrate a centennial. It is the oldest of such airports and was established by Wilbur Wright as a part of a U.S. Army contract. Wright then trained the first two military aviators to pilot a plane he supplied with the help of his brother, Orville. The airport can also lay claim to hosting the first female passengers in 1909, the first test of a machine gun in a plane in 1912, and the first U.S. postal airmail service from 1918 to 1921. To learn about these firsts and many more, visit the College Park Aviation Museum, which is located directly adjacent to the airfield.
Coming up, the university faces an enrollment crisis.
Also, stay tuned for your weekly swine flu and sports updates. You're listening to TERP Weekly Edition.
Welcome back to TERP Weekly Edition. I'm Michael O'Neill. It's a rehearsal, but this time, the performance really counts. In the event of a national or local emergency, the University Health Center would need to administer antibiotics, vaccinations, or antiviral drugs to masses of people. 2,000 free seasonal flu shots will be given to students, faculty, and staff to help the health center properly gauge the number of individuals that it could realistically treat during an emergency. Several stations with various functions will be set up to provide quick and efficient vaccinations.
A diversity challenge facing the university is prompting administrators to look for new ways to increase enrollment among African-American students. According to the Diamondback, African-Americans accounted for only 9.2% of this year's incoming freshmen. Rob Waters, assistant to the President for Equity and Diversity, calls this figure unacceptable. He wants to see an increase to the double-digit range. Why are the numbers down? One reason for the lower enrollment is that minorities traditionally suffer more in economic hard times. Still, university officials believe they can do more to lure minority students by keeping in close contact with them during the application process and working more closely with those who may be dealing with financial problems. With its percentage among minority students seeing its lowest numbers in decades, university officials hope the trend will quickly turn around for next year.
This semester has been named the Official Semester on Peace, and several events will be taking place each week to initiate peace on Maryland's campus. The latest in the ongoing series of events will be a seminar on dance movement therapy led by David Allen Harris. Harris is known for his work with the Child Soldiers of Sierra Leone and the Lost Boys of Sudan. He will share his experiences of bringing peace and healing to different parts of the world. For more information on this event and the semester on peace, visit www.peace.umd.edu.
Here is the Maryland Athletics update on TERP Weekly Edition. Economic hard times are taking a toll on the university's athletic department. According to a report in the Diamondback, a second round of budget cuts has prompted a range of cutbacks. Travel for coaches is limited to team travel and recruiting, open administrative positions within the department are going unfilled, and water supply to Comcast Center offices has been cut. But so far, there's been no impact on the university's 27 varsity teams. Lower ticket sales and a drop in contributions to the Terrapin Club are being blamed in part for the department's money problems. Some happier news for TERP basketball fans. Misdemeanor charges against TERP forward Jordan Williams have been dropped. He had been charged with third-degree assault and breach of peace after an altercation in his hometown of Torrington, Connecticut. And while the basketball season is still almost a month away, the annual preseason kickoff, Maryland Madness, is set for October 16th. The event features performances by the Maryland Pep Band, Gymkhana, and the dance team. Of course, the main event is basketball. There will be three-point shooting contests and inter-squad scrimmages by both the men's and women's teams.
This football season, students are finding even more reasons to show their team spirit. Three University of Maryland students are capitalizing on the school's sense of pride and giving their classmates more ways to support the Terrapins.
Coming up, a group of Tibetan monks take over STAMP.
Stay tuned.
This week, student entertainment events brought Tibet to the Maryland campus. Allie Prout headed over to the STAMP Art Gallery for the four-day affair and got a glimpse of a rarely seen Buddhist tradition.
Chanting echoed from STAMP Student Art Gallery's glass walls as Tibetan monks kicked off a four-day sand mandala ceremony, and passersby stopped in their tracks to watch the monks play their wildly colored instruments before starting work on the mandala. Interpreter Tenzin Pentok explained just how the monks create this Tibetan treasure.
They draw the outline of the mandalas first, which normally takes, 2 to 3 hours, 4 hours, to complete the outline of the mandala first. And then as soon as finished with the drawing the outline of the mandalas, then they start to the pouring sand onto the design, so which normally take 4-5 days to complete.
Grains of brightly colored crushed marble are put into small metal tubes. These tubes are then rubbed together to produce the exact amount of sand needed to create designs. And transforming millions of grains of sand into a massive mandala is not something these monks take lightly.
So construction of sand mandala or the creation of sand mandala is for bringing more peace, happiness and harmony within the community and environmental level, individual level, community level, and the whole nation and whole universe, whole world. So that's, the main purpose of making sand painting for peace and harmony and happiness.
As the students watched lines on a table transform into elaborate designs, they could only express awe.
I think it's going to look awesome by the end of the week.
It's not kind of a typical thing for me to walk in and see a bunch of people hunched around a table.
They have to watch how they breathe, how if they sneeze, they have to go far away and hide, basically. Because if they do anything, like, the whole thing gets ruined. And it just takes a lot of discipline, and I admire them for that.
During Thursday's closing ceremony, the monks destroyed the completed mandala to symbolize the impermanence of nature, and even handed out little bags of the blessed sand to students. But see, performing arts director Amina Gohir, who organized the event, said she hopes the students can take away even more from the experience.
I'm hoping that kids get a chance to kind of see something new. I mean, truthfully, before I looked into this, I didn't know that monks even constructed sand mandalas. It's kind of an interesting way for students to get exposure to a different cultural event.
In STAMP Student Union, I'm Allie Prout for TERP Weekly Edition.
This week marks the last week in Hispanic Heritage Month, a celebration acknowledging the experiences and contributions of Latinos. This year's theme is Embracing the Fierce Urgency of Now. University of Maryland has joined the celebration with a series of events honoring the Hispanic community. Events this week include a public viewing of the movie Shay for Hispanic Movie Night, educational panels, and group seminars on various topics of interest. The month draws to a close with a Hispanic Heritage Month banquet.
Thanks for listening in. I'm Kara Crawford.
And I'm Michael O'Neill. This has been TERP Weekly Edition. Tune in next week for the latest news on the University of Maryland.
This has been TERP Weekly Edition, produced and written by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio. Please join us next week at the same time for a look at the issues in and around the University of Maryland College Park.